Well, good morning. It is good to be with you here today. Please keep your Bibles open to Romans chapter 10. And hopefully you have your journals. This year we've been inviting you to bring journals with you, to be digging in, interacting together in God's Word. And it's around our new series that Pastor Andy began for us this past Wednesday at our Ash Wednesday service, but a series titled, So That. And our focus today is the verse, chapter 10, verse 4, where Paul says, Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we have opportunity to be together in your presence, to know that you are here with us. Father, thank you for the love that you have, a love that you have shown to us in the sending of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. And Jesus, thank you for giving your life, becoming the culmination of the law, so that we might be made right again with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To really appreciate these words, and I wanted you to hear from chapter 10 to understand the context for this verse, but to understand what Paul is really trying to get at when he says that Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes, we need to first understand the problem that he is trying to address. And the problem is this: seeking one's own righteousness. It's something that all of us deal with in our own ways. We sometimes are led to believe that we have to perform a certain way. There's this idea, and it's not just in the world around us, but it's in our culture, it's in our society, that the better we do, the better we perform, the more others will like us. And we're also led to believe that the opposite is true, that the worse that we do, the worse we perform, well, others just, they're not going to like us. And what happens is this begins to shape not just our achievements, but it also begins to shape how we value ourselves, where we look for worth, how we even consider our own identity. And it breathes into all of our relationships, including our relationship with God. Consider for a moment what Tullian Tevigen says in his book, One Way Love. He's the grandson of Billy Graham. And I appreciate how he speaks to this. He says, the fact is, real life is long on law and short on grace. The demands never seem to stop. The failures pile up. The fears set in. Life requires many things from us. A successful career, a stable marriage, well-behaved and emotionally adjusted children, a certain quality of life. When life gets hard, the hardworking work harder. Is it any wonder we're also tired? We do our best to do better, do more, and do now. The cultural pressure is to take care of yourself and make it happen by working harder and smarter, and it wears us out. We live with long lists of things to accomplish and people to please. Anyone living inside the guilt, the anxiety, the stress, the strain, and the uncertainty of daily life knows from instinct and hard experience that the weight of life is heavy. Have any of you ever been there before? Again, we are, in our world in which we live and in our culture today, we are led to believe that we need to perform a certain way. And we even bring this into our relationship with God, where we think that we need to do better so God will love me more. But that's not how God operates. You see, the reality, and as Tullian Tevigen goes on to say, the problem, it comes, as it always does, that when things fall apart, when we can't meet our end of the bargain, in other words, no matter how hard we try, we can never be perfect. We can't. Pastor John shared today about how Paul is honest in Romans about his own struggle when it comes to this. He speaks of it in Romans chapter 7. We heard some of that read, and I'd like to share with you a little bit more of what he says in verses 14 to 24, but I want to share it with you from the Message. If you're familiar at all with the Message, then you know it's a paraphrase of the Bible. It's not a literal translation, so it's important to keep that in mind. But I do think it helps us at times to really start to understand what the writers are trying to communicate, what God is helping us to understand in his word. So listen for a moment and see if this relates to you at all. So this is Paul reflecting. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things that I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more. For if I know the law but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Have you ever felt that way? You just keep trying so hard to do the right thing. Trying so hard to do better, to be better. Trying so hard to please those around us. And yet, eventually, we all realize that we fail. Again, Paul says, there are times in my life when I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? But then, in his very next breath, he speaks the answer. Romans chapter 7, verse 25, this is actually from the ESV. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just to make sure you're with me, can you say those words on the screen? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What are we giving thanks for? Well, Paul answers that in the verse that is our focus today from Romans chapter 10, verse 4. That Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. I want to focus for a moment on the first part of that verse. Christ is the culmination. Now, we can ask the Lutheran question. What's the Lutheran question? You all know the Lutheran question. What does this mean? What does it mean that Christ is the culmination of the law? Well, to answer that, it helps to understand what culmination means, a word that we don't use that frequently. But culmination means the highest or climactic point of something, especially attained after a long time. Let's think back for a moment. In fact, let's go all the way back to Genesis. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we have creation, where God says all things are good. But we know what happens in creation. Adam and Eve, they disobey God, and sin enters in that affects all of our lives, the brokenness. Let me share with you the words that God speaks from the beginning. Genesis 3, this is right after the fall into sin. This is God talking to the serpent. He says in verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, O serpent, and you shall bruise his heel. Who's the he? It's Jesus. Already from the beginning, God is making promises. Promises about what he will do to make things right again. And not just right with the world, but right with us, and to make us right with God. And so throughout Scripture, there is promise after promise after promise after promise about what God will do through the Messiah, through Christ. It begins there in Genesis 3:15. And then God's covenant promise echoed through the pages of Scripture in the lives of real people in real places and real times of history, dealing with their own problems and failures. God promises to be God to them and with them and for them. God promises to come near to us, to leave heaven and to come to earth, to step into the brokenness, into our mess, to provide a solution to our problem. And the solution that Paul addresses is this, that Christ is the culmination of the law. And here's what that means. First of all, it means that Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise that God has made. In the Sermon on the Mount that we just finished going through, Jesus says just that. I have come not to do away with the Old Testament, not to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, to make it new. But it means more than that. It also means that Jesus comes, God himself comes in the flesh to do what we cannot do, to be perfect, to live a life perfectly obedient to God and to his word. And then to do even more, he goes to the cross to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice, to put himself in place of you and me, to take the judgment, the punishment for our sin upon himself, so that. In the Greek, in the original language, those two words appeared as just one word. It takes on the form of a preposition. It can be translated as into that, or so that. And it means this: to indicate the result of an action or a condition. To indicate the result of an action or a condition. What's the action? That God so loved the world, he gave the gift of his son. What's the action? That Jesus would enter into death on the cross. And what's the condition? Well, he places himself into death because of our condition of sin and brokenness. So that. You see, the result of Jesus suffering and dying and rising again, the result of Jesus being the culmination of the law, is that we might be made righteous again with God. That everyone who believes in Jesus as Lord and Savior might be made right again with God. And this is because of Christ alone. We love to sing those words, Christ alone. It is because of Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what makes Christianity Christianity. Christianity is not about what we have to do to make ourselves right before God. No, Christianity is about what Christ has come to do on our behalf to make us right with God. And it's by grace alone. Grace meaning what we receive, what we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be forgiven. What we deserve is to be the ones that have to undergo the punishment for sin, which is death. But Jesus takes that upon himself. That's grace. And then God gives us this gift of faith, through faith. Faith that receives. Faith is what allows us to believe that this can actually be true. Bringing this to a close, listen to these words. This is from Michael Minnendorf in the commentary on Romans, and I love how he explains what's going on in this verse, in Romans 10, verse 4. He says, "The verdict which is accomplished and publicly announced through the death and resurrection of Jesus is that those who are in him are reckoned to have died and been raised with him." And now here's the two words, so that from God's point of view, their sins are no longer accounted against them, and they stand on resurrection ground, free at last to live as genuine, real human beings, to live the way that God has intended for us to live with him from the very beginning. I love how he says, because of Jesus, because of grace alone, through Christ alone, through faith alone, we now stand on resurrection ground. The season of Lent draws us to the cross, but from the cross, it takes us to the empty tomb. And because of Jesus, who died for us, who rose for us, we stand on resurrection ground, meaning, this is good news, that we now have life again with God. And it's all because of this. Can you read these words with me from Romans 10:4? Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Dear friends in Christ, may we believe these words to be true. And may these words bring life and freedom into the everyday places. In Jesus' name, amen. Couple questions I'll leave with you if you're working through your journals. A question for us to consider this week. Are you at all exhausted from trying to perform, that is, trying to do better? And what promise is given to those who believe and confess that Jesus is Lord? And how does God's righteousness motivate us to faithful living?